Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Tomco Construction and Roofing Central Mississippi. We offer highly trained and skilled professionals, comprehensive solutions, competitive prices, and personal customer service for roof repairs, replacements, or remodeling. We do it all. Visit TomcoConstruction.com today.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What is up, everybody? Welcome in on this brutally hot Sunday night. We got, I guess it's not technically summer yet, although through July and August are summer. I don't care what the day is. Regardless, we got a taste of summer today. It was brutal outside, but I'm glad you guys are here. You survived it. Hopefully your AC is still working. Knock on wood, you don't have the misfortune that I had last summer where you lose AC in the middle of a record heat wave. But we got through it. We're still here, and you guys are still here, and I'm glad that is the case. This is the Rebel Report live in the dead of June, although today was a pretty incredible sports day. Is it okay for me to admit out loud, by the way, that I have not watched a pitch of the College World Series? I haven't watched a pitch. Is that okay to admit? I have not watched a pitch. Now, I saw the Florida State-Tennessee thing. That was a check swing that should have ended the game. It didn't. But I have not watched baseball. I've been locked into the U.S. Open, which was amazing today. Absolutely incredible drama. But I haven't watched any baseball this weekend. So we can talk about it if you guys want to talk about it. I have not watched any. It has been in the rear view for me after Ole Miss and then Mississippi State got eliminated. Just full steam ahead with football and the radio show and full steam ahead here as well. And I know, apparently it's been awesome, but I have missed baseball. But anyway, this is the Rebel Report. I am Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are here. Follow me, social media, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, B-O-R-K-E-Y. That's how you spell the last name. Just search that and you will find me. If you're listening in podcast form, just don't forget to hop on over to YouTube and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like the video and leave a comment. If you're watching after the fact, please leave a comment. I still read them. I reply to them. I see them. So thank you for that. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. So if you miss a live, you still get to hear it. Just search Rebel Report wherever you get them. Subscribe and leave a rating and a review. We can talk U.S. Open. Again, it was amazing. Just incredible, incredible drama. We get to have the fun debate tomorrow. In sports media land, and we're definitely going to do it on our show. Did Bryson win or did Rory lose debate? And the correct answer, by the way, despite that, world-class, like all-time great shot, what, 45-yard bunker shot from Bryson on 18 to knock it to this far to seal the win? The correct answer is Rory lost that tournament. He choked. He absolutely choked. Horrible, horrible shot on 15. And that led to a bogey. And then, wait, was it 16 that he had the bad? Anyway, really bad tee shot on the par three, hit it over the back of the green, made bogey there, and then missed a two-footer and then missed a three-footer. He choked the tournament away. Absolutely. But we get to have that debate tomorrow. Anyway, incredible drama. Bryson is a showman. That was incredible sporting today. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about two things. One, I was trying to workshop how to create the best title for this because in my head it was, what position group at Ole Miss do you have the most confidence in and which one do you have the least confidence in? But best and worst is what we're going with tonight. What position group at Ole Miss do you think is the best on the team? Which one do you have the most confidence in? And which one in your mind is the worst or do you have the least confidence in? So we'll talk about that. We'll get your thoughts on that as well. Some early lines came out as well. Ole Miss is a mega, mega favorite in one game. They're a favorite in a big home game, and they're slight underdogs in two other big games on these early lines from Circa Sports. So we'll get to all of that in your comments after I tell you that this edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Injuries are unavoidable in life. You hope it doesn't happen, but it does happen to you or any of us from time to time. If you have been personally injured and you want real legal, if you want legal help that is going to be more than just churning you in, churning you out, somebody that's going to get to know you, that's really going to care about your situation, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm is that person. He's not, again, he's not just going to churn you in and out, you know, take your phone call and just push you along. It's somebody that you will build a relationship with because DJ Gregory of the has got you covered. Also, he does small business and contract disputes as well. So personal injury, small business, contract disputes. If you want somebody that is going to give you the best legal help while also making it a comfortable and intimate experience, then that's the person. DJ Gregory, Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm, for all your personal injury, small business, and contract disputes. So as I was thinking about this today, the best, quote-unquote, best position group at Ole Miss, I think my answer is it's a group that is ahead above everybody else. Quarterback needs to get taken out of this equation, although I think Ole Miss is better at this position, generally speaking, than they are at quarterback even, and that's wide receiver. I love this Ole Miss wide receiver group because it's got both, right? It's got two Ps. It's got production, proven production, and it's got three Ps. Proven production and potential. You guys know everything about Trey Harris and Jordan Watkins right now. And even though, you know, Trey Harris might not be the fastest outside receiver out there, you know, he may not have DK Metcalf straight line speed. He may not be as physically strong as AJ Brown. When Jackson Dart throws him the football, he catches it. He is physical. He's willing to catch the ball in space. He's really, really, really good after the catch as well. And he's got extremely reliable hands. And he did it at Louisiana Tech, but it's a totally different animal when it comes to the SEC. He comes to the SEC. He gets hurt, by the way. So last year's Trey Harris was one that was battling injury during the season, and you still got that kind of production. So proven production from him. Proven production from Jordan Watkins, who was another guy that got hurt last year, played through it, caught punts with a broken hand. That 1-2 punch at wide receiver is proven. They are reliable. Their age, I think, matters, that they've spent, in Watkins' case, multiple years in this offense. Harris, this will be year two in this offense. But they're guys that you don't have to worry about. You don't have to worry about them making mistakes. Mentally, they're going to be locked in. They know how to prepare. They know how to handle this. They're veteran guys. Handle this. They're veteran guys who also are highly, highly, highly productive wide receivers. Just those two on their own makes this position group, I think, the best on Ole Miss's team. But it's the proven production from them, and then it's the potential for some other guys. Now, Juice Wells is somebody that has proven production at the SEC level. You guys know me. I err on the side of caution with new players. I got to see it first before I start crowning them Heisman Trophy winners. It's just how I think that people should approach things, like Deion Smith. I need to see it first before I say that he's taking somebody's job and going to be a 1,000-yard receiver this year. But Juice Wells is productive in the SEC, highly productive, highly explosive in the SEC. May or may not be available come week one, but when he comes back healthy, the potential of Juice Wells is incredible to this wide receiver room. And then you have the depth pieces, right? You've got Caden Lee, who apparently the staff really, really loves, and in his limited action really shined last year. Aiden Williams, a highly talented guy, has yet to really prove it because the guys in front of him that we mentioned didn't really give him a chance to prove it last year, but there's a reason they went so hard after him in recruiting, and the ceiling on him is really high. The ceiling on Deion Smith, as people have been talking about for so long now, is incredibly high. And so when you've got the potential of Deion Smith, Juice Wells, Caden Lee, Aiden Williams, and the proven production from Trey Harris and Jordan Watkins, Ole Miss's group of wide receivers, which is it runs counter to what I talked about with you guys last week or on Thursday. I think it was Thursday when we talked about how I was kind of confused at how you're going to have this many receivers be all SEC guys with a quarterback that's fourth team when they're going to run too much for that many receivers to be that productive. This kind of flies in the face of that. But I think that there is no position on Ole Miss's roster that you should love more than what they have at wide receiver. Proven production and potential. The three P's at wide receiver, proven production and potential at wide receiver. It's one of the better position, one of the better wide receiver groups in all of college football. There's only a small handful of schools that could have an argument against it. And this school you're going to hear so often this offseason, it's Ohio State. You guys are probably sick of hearing about Ohio State with what happened this offseason. But Ohio State's got an incredibly deep and talented first-round caliber guys, wide receiver room. There's some others as well, but Ole Miss is definitely in the conversation of best wide receiver groups in America. So that is mine. The one I'm most confident in, the one that has the claim as the best on that roster. If you're looking for the opposite, which one do I have the least confidence in, or which one could be quote unquote the worst? So I'm going to say defensive back, but with a caveat, because going on my principle is I need to see it first. I just need to see it first. They have portaled very well in those spots. I like what they've got there on paper. I like what they've got in Trey Amos. And when you listen to Lane Kiffin's interview from the spring about what you're getting with an Alabama defensive back, Trey Amos graded out really well when he played last year, when McKinstry got hurt, et cetera. So, you know, Nick Saban defensive backs tend to be really, really, really good. This is a highly talented guy, but just was not a starter at his previous stop. So his number of snaps were limited, more so than what you have with other guys on this team. And then Isaiah Hamilton's making the jump. I know, you know, Houston is now in the Big 12, but it's a totally different animal in the SEC. So Ole Miss's likely starting quarters are two transfers that you have not seen play in an Ole Miss uniform yet. So that might be a position that you look at as most concerning, just because you don't know what they are capable of doing in your uniform in the SEC yet. I think both of those guys have the high-end potential to be, you know, really great, if not super solid defensive backs, but just got to see it first. When you look around the other position groups, there's a lot of, I've already seen it with these guys. I mean, even safety, you know, Washington and Saunders, and they've portaled well there as well with Banks and Key Lawrence. And you've got on the defensive line, you know, Uman Mielen and Nolan are new to this, right? They're not, they haven't played for Ole Miss yet either, but on the defensive line, they've got proven from years past with Ivy and Pegues. I like what they have depth wise with Kalo Stone and Xavier Harris. Offensive line is a group that I am, the more I think about it, the more I am becoming more confident in their ability to be better than they were a year ago. And, you know, breaking news more at 11, that's why I get paid the big bucks. Yeah, because they added four guys, four highly sought-after guys via transfer portal. But think about it like this. They returned everybody from last year. We've talked about that before. It's still kind of mind-blowing to me that they were able to hold on to the entire offensive line while those guys know that they're getting recruited over, and they did recruit over them in the December-January window, and none of those guys left after spring. It's amazing to me that they were able to pull that off. But even if they only have a 50% hit rate with the four portal guys on the offensive line, that is a huge upgrade for that group. So the more I think about it, with the depth that they have paired with what they signed in the portal, I really like the possibility of what they can be up front on the offensive line. As we've talked about before, on paper, they have either returning a lot of experience or have done a really good job of upgrading via transfer portal at every single spot on this team. I like the wide receivers the most. I am most curious about the defensive backs just because we haven't seen it yet in an Ole Miss uniform. And, you know, there's some questions about linebacker. Getting Kari Coleman and Perkins back paired with Dudley, who was really good in the Peach Bowl, and the experience of Chris Paul Jr., there's a lot to like here. People keep talking about, Tyler Banks as well. So there's a good bit to like there as well. Breaking news, a team that's going to start the season in the top six has a lot of position groups that people really, really like. But that is the one that I think is the best, is the wide receivers. And, you know, besides the line of scrimmages, because that's always the biggest thing on a football team, defensive back is one that I'm looking at closely. Super high ceiling for those two. But they're both making a transition, one to being a full-time starter and the other to life in the SEC. We also got some early lines from Circa Sports. Just a few for Ole Miss. The first one that came out was the LSU game. LSU -3 is the line in that one. That should surprise nobody. LSU gets a brand bump, especially this time of year when games haven't been played yet. And they get a Baton Rouge bump as well. So Ole Miss being a 3-point underdog in Baton Rouge is exactly, if you would have asked me, I would have said 2.5, 3, frankly. So that's exactly what I would have expected to see. And that is, again, the brand bump and the Baton Rouge bump there. Ole Miss is a 5-point favorite currently over Oklahoma. That is a massive, massive, massive football game that's sadly kicking off at 11 o'clock in the morning. Ole Miss is a 7-point underdog to Georgia. So, you know, as weird as that is to say, because it's in Oxford and Ole Miss is starting as a top 10 team, I think that shows a little bit of respect to the Rebels there. You know, depending on how they look, that line can come down or go up. But if it's only 7 points right now, this is saying that they like what they've seen from Ole Miss this offseason, especially after everybody saw what Georgia was able to do to them a year ago. And then Ole Miss is a 19-point favorite currently for the Egg Bowl. I said, or I had somebody say to me earlier today that that line felt a little big, and I think that that is right on the money. And possibly that number could go up as we get through the season, barring any kind of crazy bad injury luck or anything like that. Because, defensively, there's a real chance that State is possibly historically bad. So, anyway. The podcast is brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. We'll get to your comments, by the way, after this. They make you their priority every day. They've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely one in your backyard. They make you their priority with their online banking platform as well. It's a one-stop shop. So all you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. The podcast is also brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online. ABSMS.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is. If it's tech, if it's in the office and your Mississippi business needs it, check them out again online. Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you. On me. First in, Borky, I heard Little Man was getting you a steak for Father's Day. Yeah, we had a good weekend. We went to the splash pad yesterday, and I got sunburn on the top of my feet. So that's a fun place to get sunburn, is on the top of your feet. I got it bad, too. I would show you guys, but I don't want to get demonetized on this, so I'll just keep it to myself. But yeah, I got sunburn on the top of my feet at the splash pad yesterday. But no, man, it was a really good weekend. Father's Day is, you know, frankly, it's kind of a sad day for me because in a very soft way, I miss my dad only because we live far apart. Other people miss their dads for much sadder reason. So I need to suck it up and you know, get over myself. But I've always been kind of bummed on Father's Day because of the choices that I've made. I chose to live here. I chose to move away from home, but I do miss my dad on days like this, and he's very, very far away. But it was really good because I have my little man now. So yeah, thoughts on that Florida State Tennessee check swing last night? It was absolutely a check swing. It was absolutely. Thank you for the super chat. Yes. Love the shirt. I absolutely love this shirt. And the thing is, I can wear this in the summer. That's what I love about it. I love these hoodies, and I can wear it in the summer. Yes, best position group has to be wide receiver. Shout out PTG Outdoors for the apparel yet again. Wearing the same thing two streams in a row, probably not a good idea, but it's a comfortable. It's a really comfortable shirt. So anyway. To answer the show's question, it's either D-line or wide receiver. I'll go with D-line since the wide receiver group tends to be pretty limited under Kiffin. Wearing the same shirt two lives in a row. You guys would be not surprised at all to find out how many times like I wear the same thing over and over again. I rotate because it's all I kind of fit in anymore. It's three pair of pants. And I just kind of rotate them. But after the first wear, I don't wash them. I just hang them back up and I'll wear them again. Because like it's just at work. Like it's just in the studio. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not sweating in them. So maybe I shouldn't admit that out loud. But it's the middle of June. I mean, what else are we going to talk about, right? I wear pants twice before I wash them. That is what I do. Haven't watched a pitch of postseason baseball either. I haven't. And the U.S. Open was just so good this weekend. You can name me six or seven direct contributors on the defensive line while it's about three at wide receiver. That's a very good point. It's a very good point. And I don't think Ole Miss has a first-round pick at wide receiver either. I just love what they are and who they are. I like the continuity with the two main guys. I like the potential with everybody else. I don't think Trey Harris gets enough love around the country in college football. You guys recognize the ability. And again, he was hurt last year, and so was Watkins. They were both hurt last year, and they still put up the production that they did. Knock on wood, imagine if they can get through a whole season without getting hurt like that. Can me and Cross talk golf for 30 minutes tomorrow just to annoy Hey Dad? You know, Hey Dad's going to have to get over that because we are going to talk about the U.S. Open tomorrow on the show for two reasons. One, it was amazing. And two, what the hell else are we going to talk about? What else are we going to talk about? It's the middle of June. There's nothing going on. I mean, we'll get to some of these lines and we'll do the – I really enjoyed Thursday's show a lot. But so we'll do some of the some of that. But there's nothing else going on. So Haydad's got to suck it up a little bit. I saw Kami Haydad, by the way, can't get him to watch the United States national soccer team. I can't get him to do it. He does not watch him. Doesn't watch him play. But he was emotionally invested in the Albania-Italy game or whatever the hell yesterday. Unbelievable. It's like he's not even American or something. LSU favored in 11 of the 12 games and only a pick 'em at A&M, so go ahead and place your bet on LSU national championship future. Here's the thing. They're not going 11-1. They're not. So I'll give you my car if they do. Ole Miss opening at minus 19 over State sounds about right for a normal game, but I think the rivalry factor would allow State to cover that, a 14-17 point game. We'll see about that. I have absolutely no confidence whatsoever in their defensive personnel. I think that there's a chance that they are historically, for them, not historically bad, might be too strong, but I think that this is going to be the worst defense that they've fielded in quite some time. They lack talent in a lot of positions. They lacked depth in every position, and they didn't get anybody of great impact absent a guy in the transfer portal. It did not do a good enough job there. It's as simple as that. You have to throw the tight ends into this conversation for the wide receivers. I do really like what they have in that room now, too. I really like the addition of Daquan Wright. I think that's going to be kind of an unsung hero on the team this year. Having the depth at tight end is big, finally. Just down to your Red Bulls and a five-hour energy star. Oh, you guys are... You and Pat. I've got a story about Red Bull and five-hour energy. I'll tell it. Why not? Again, it's the middle of June. My sophomore year, I had four finals in 2 days, and I did not start studying for any of them until the night before the first two. And so I did not sleep between that first night and the... So, two tests, night before, two tests, night, two tests, and I drove to South Carolina after my second exam. So I didn't sleep at all. And I kept myself up on five-hour energy and coffee at the fraternity house. That's just what kept me up the whole time. As I was driving home, I just was looking in the rearview mirror, and I was turning yellow, like around my eyes and my face. I had like yellow spots on my... I had to go to a doctor, and he gave me a... He called it a banana bag. That's what we called it back in school. I don't know if you guys call it that or not, but it's the bag of vitamins that they give people that end up at the hospital for drinking too much, like the nutrient bag. I had to get pumped it with a bag full of nutrients because like I was destroying my internal organs by surviving for 48 hours on nothing but coffee and 5 hour energy and Red Bull and all the shit that I could find without sleeping. I was literally around my eyes turning yellow on the drive home to South Carolina. I didn't drink coffee after that until my son was born. That's how it scarred me, I guess, until then. So if we're talking pass catchers in general, which would include Prescorn, I'd put that at number one. Definitely throw the tight end room in there. This offense is loaded with weapons. It's an embarrassment of riches. I'd take Ole Miss in the points right now until we see how State's defense is and how State's offense looks transitioning to a third different offense in 3 years. You know, in a weird way, I think it's almost good for State that they're doing that third offense in 3 years with a new quarterback. Just, and besides, I don't think that Will Rogers would have been able to run this. You know, there's one person, more than one, but there's one person that was beating the, he's a product of the system, and Mississippi State should try to upgrade at quarterback in the transfer portal. I said that, and I got a lot of crap for that. You guys might remember that, some of you that were here originally, but I said that on the radio show. I said, hey, look, Mississippi State would be well-served to go after some of these portal quarterbacks. If they're getting away from Mike Leach's air raid, they need a different quarterback. They need one. The one that they have is not equipped to win games in the SEC, not running the air raid. And quite frankly, it wasn't working in the air raid either. If you want to really break down the numbers and where they came from and what happened against the better teams, it wasn't working then either. But I caught so much crap for that. And I was right. I hate being that I was right guy, but I was right the whole time. I was right from the very beginning. They could have done a lot better than what they had at quarterback. And I think that they do have better at quarterback. I like Chapin, and I think he fits this offense, and he's a pretty good athlete, kind of a sneaky athlete, and I'm not just saying that because, you know. But that is tough, third offense in 3 years, but it's a lot of new faces. You know, it's a almost entirely new offensive line. It's a new quarterback. It's a lot of new wide receivers. It's new tight ends. So they're all kind of – it's all new as opposed to – the same guys doing a third new thing that may not fit them. these are guys that they brought in to run this particular system, so that may help them some. 12-0, two 12-0s. I'm not there yet. I am not there yet. But as I told you guys, I'm closer to 11 than I am 9. On paper, the way this offense is set up with depth at wide receiver and offensive line and Dart at quarterback, this should take some pressure off the running backs. Plus, there's a group of solid bodies to carry the ball. Offensive line has to gel. Yes, it does. They can go 12-0, but if they do, you do not want to see a Georgia rematch in the playoffs. It sounds like they're going to try their best, their absolute best, to avoid that as best they can. I saw a power ranking, a predicted order of finish that had Ole Miss third, and I think that's perfect. I think that's the sweet spot. Because you are guaranteed to not play an extra game. We've talked about that before. But you, unless you're going to win the SEC, going to the SEC championship is a risk. You would rather be right there on the edge. Ole Miss finishing third in the SEC would be perfect. Because you guarantee you don't play an extra game because the loser of the SEC championship has to play an extra game. And you're hosting a playoff game at home, and you're still very clearly a really good football team. You're probably 11-1 in that scenario. So, still way out from predictions, but outside of Georgia, what other teams on Ole Miss's schedule could be capable of success against them offensively or defensively? Nobody. Well, Ole Miss on paper is better than everybody on their schedule, not named Georgia. On paper, they are. Will they win all of those games? Obviously, we have to see. But on paper, are they? Yes. The argument about the, quote, worst state team losing by 10 to the best Ole Miss team in the last 10 years argument is not going to be relevant to this year's game, different games and circumstances. That's also a stupid argument. It's dumb. Ole Miss struggled with Arkansas. Is that an indicator too? But this is how dumb it is. Ole Miss beat LSU. LSU beat Mississippi State by a billion. Ole Miss beat Mississippi State by 10. So is Mississippi State better than Ole Miss? Because that transitive property and all that's dumb. That you win the game, you lose the game. That's what matters. Did you win? Did you lose? Also, taking moral victories out of a 10-point home loss is, you know, I don't love recruiting, but got to talk about the huge recruiting weekend. Best player they got was a 0.87 mid 3-star, and you've got to celebrate little victories in life, I guess. The results. I don't want to dog too much or unfairly dog a team that, you know, I have to pay very close attention to and cover and all that. But it was overhyped. It was overhyped. Who starts at center this season? That's a good question. That's a really good question. I'm not totally convinced that, I mean, you know, people put out depth charts and that's not something that anybody should do, but I'm not totally convinced it's just going to be Caleb Warren being the center. I don't know. Maybe Jerquan Scott. I don't know. I think that camp is going to tell us a lot about who's going to play on the offensive line. It's just, there's no way of knowing right now since the four new guys have only gone through a spring, but frankly, I don't think that John Garrison knows right now, which is totally fine. You want to see them stay healthy. Dayton Wade was a key piece too. Yeah, missing Wade is going to stink for sure. For sure. Knowing Hey Dad makes for good radio. Well, he's a commie. He's on my losers list for tomorrow. Sitting here emotionally tweeting about Algeria or Albania or whoever the hell it was against Italy, but I can't get him to watch the United States national team play Brazil. What? Somebody make sense of that for me. Somebody, he didn't even watch us play in the World Cup. Like, just was indifferent, didn't care. But my God, we're watching Albania versus Italy. Hey, Dad, he's gonna be so mad too. Nobody tell him that I'm talking about him right now, because I want him to be surprised when I call him Commie Hey Dad tomorrow. Some line predictions for the Kentucky and South Carolina games. I'm thinking Ole Miss opens around 14 to 15 points each. Yeah, so I'll go Kentucky, Ole Miss plus 14.5, and South Carolina, Ole Miss plus 12.5, being on the road. You can see LSU at 9-3, best case scenario. I agree. I think that's their ceiling. The more we look at their roster, the more you think they won't make a bowl. The offense is going to have to do amazing numbers to beat a team like Florida, and their non-cons aren't gimmies. Yeah, that Arizona State game is tough, especially a tough kickoff time too. 9:30, that stinks. And you're right about this. The 2020 Ole Miss offense was much more talented than this one. Try drinking 16 Red Bulls in 2 hours deployed to the desert on a bet. How is your heart still beating? Are you sure you're alive, Pat? Arizona State week 2 is very dangerous, and you've heard no one talk about it, just an automatic W. Yeah, Hey Dad, and to his credit, he was also like, you know, maybe they should. Maybe they should try to look for quarterbacks, because appreciate you being here, Hail State Bucks fan. You said, I agree with the Rodgers take. I got crap from my state buddies on it until the 2023 season, and they realized his numbers didn't reflect how inefficient the offense was in 21 and 22, especially against the better teams that they played. For sure. You'd rather a bye after winning the SEC than having a playoff game at home. But that's the thing. You got to win the SEC. What if you don't? What if you play Georgia again, you know? Then you got an extra game. Yeah, I saw that the UFL the stadium environment there was horrible in St. Louis for that. I know the TV ratings are good enough. I think. I mean, they're getting just under a million people for most games. I just, people are creatures of habit, and if you're going to get somebody to break habit, it's got to be exceptional, and spring football is not exceptional. So for all the other stuff that we do in the spring, right? Like, you had the U.S. Open today. It was great theater and great drama, and not everybody's a golf fan, but the casual sports fan is going to tune in to see Bryson and Rory go at it on the back nine at a major, right? As opposed to watching Adrian Martinez struggle the way he does ahead of a better quarterback than him. But, you know, that it's hard. And, like, I tune it in. I put it on. And to me, it's just there. And I'm not going to change my habit in the spring, which is baseball up until the teams here get eliminated. It's U.S. Open golf. And then it's, you know, going to the beach in a week, going to the splash pad. Just, I'm not changing my weekends to watch football games when the football's not that good this time of year. And yeah, I hope the concert was good though. What do you say to somebody in your position? Like, I hope you played well. Is that what, hope the concert went well? Something like that. I watched a documentary about the making of Teenage Dirtbag, by the way. I don't know if that's something that would interest you. I love that song. Absolutely love that song. And it was really cool hearing about that song. And, you know, what's crazy is that they were inspired, that the name of the song was inspired by like a troublemaker that got arrested at the lead singer of Wheatus's high school. And then right as the song was coming out, there's a line in the song where the girl he's got a crush on brings a gun to school. Like, he brings a gun to school is a line in the song. And they released it like right as Columbine happened. And they wanted the record people said, like, we're not going to play your song. You're not going to play it on the radio unless you take that line out and change the line. And he said, no. And it's still like domestically here in the States, it did awful. But like in Europe and Australia and all that, they were playing sold out stadiums where it didn't move the needle here because nobody would play it because of that. Very interesting stuff. Anyway, I love that song. That the like that 90s. I'm a big fan of that kind of music. Like, you know, the early Third Eye Blind, stuff like that. That's Blink-182, those kind of like Hootie and the Blowfish, Dave Matthews, all that stuff. That's all OAR. You'll leave State Alone in here for me. Thank you. I appreciate that, Barbara. Yeah, look, I think that it's important for me to not give in to that rivalry stuff. I don't think that is somebody with a, you know, the platform that I am lucky to have thanks to Super Talk. I don't think going on there and just spewing anti-state stuff would be good business. I think it would be really stupid. I wouldn't want to anyway. That's just not really my style, but I just don't want to do that. So thank you for not forcing me to read messages like that anymore. Thank you. Wonder how they'll do tiebreakers in the 16 team standings. Yeah, they'll have a whole list of them. It'll be like records against each other, common opponents. They'll have enough marks, yeah. Because they'll have to do it in baseball, too. You can have 7 10-2 SEC teams this year. I did not know that. Any thoughts on Missouri? Thinking they take a small step back and just miss out on the playoff, like 9-3? Well, I agree, but their schedule is a joke. They're the only schedule in the SEC that does not have a top 25 strength of schedule ranking. So what is it? Murray State, Buffalo, Boston College, Vanderbilt, all at home, all in a row, bye week at A&M. For some dumb reason, they're going to UMass, and they're playing on campus at UMass, not even in Foxborough. Auburn at home, at Alabama, bye week, Oklahoma at home, at South Carolina, at Mississippi State, Arkansas. So there could be three losses in there. At A&M, certainly losable. At Alabama, certainly losable. Oklahoma, certainly losable. At South Carolina, certainly losable too. I do think they're going to be really good, though. They've portaled really well. Veteran quarterback. They're going to run the football really well again. Burden's back. That A&M game will define their season, basically. Tell me what they do on October 5th in College Station, and I'll tell you what kind of season they have. Kiffin's Father's Day post was great. I did not see that. Let's see. Talking about the one with all the food? Oh, the one with Monty. That's a good one. Look at that. Monty Kiffin just seems like he's just loving life. You know, he's just hanging out. Still gets to be around football every day. Another super chat. Thank you so much, man. Thank you. I appreciate you very, very, very much. To the second talking point, I don't think State can keep it within 19 points this year. It could be next year. Yes, I am very much into the 2000s post-punk rock scene like Fallout. But like Paramore, I like Paramore a lot. I've got a huge, this is weird, I know, I've got a huge crush on Hayley Williams of Paramore. like huge crush on her. But I've actually got a playlist here that I'll put on from time to time, and I'll read you some of the artists on it because why not? Again, it's June. What else are we going to talk about right now? Manufacturing Ole Miss, just Ole Miss sports is tough this time of year. So I hope you guys don't mind. We're going to go off this a little bit, but yeah, Paramore's on this one. Sum 41, Blink 182. Got a few All-American rejects, Cartel. Let's see, SR-71, Goldfinger, a lot of Goldfinger, The Used, stuff like that. So those type of bands don't seem to come to Jackson area much. Nobody comes to Jackson anymore except for country. I'm so disappointed at this summer's music lineup. Like, I know REO Speedwagon came a few weeks ago, but like, where's Styx or Def Leppard or any of those coming to the Brandon Amphitheater? It's all country. It's all this new country stuff. And then Bert Kreischer. So I can listen to him do stand up with his shirt off for some reason. We don't have a good, like, summer music lineup this summer. It's very disappointing, honestly. Very disappointing. Think Ole Miss Missouri in the SEC championship this year? Ole Miss Missouri in the SEC championship. That would cause people, that would cause some people that cover college football to, like, call for Congress to immediately make changes. People wouldn't be, they would not be able to wrap their minds around that very thing happening. Breaking Benjamin, Stained, and Seether were your style. Breaking Benjamin's great live. I've seen them. I have a very wide, diverse range of music taste. You can't pigeonhole me into one. I mean, anything rock from 70s until now, I'll listen to, frankly. Not a big country guy, although I really like and respect Zac Brown. I like Zac Brown Band, some of their songs anyway. All the ones I mentioned there. I like, you know, the kind of fratty stuff like I mentioned, Dave Matthews, OAR, that kind of crap. And it ranges pretty dramatically. I really like Jack Johnson sometimes too, if I'm in the right mood. Thank you. Thank you for the super chat, my friend. That's the Ole Miss Missouri SEC championship would cause people's head to explode. Garbage country. That seriously. It's just not for me. That's all. It's just not for me. And I'm very disappointed in that. And I looked at Dueling Hall, which for those of you that are not here in the Jackson area, you probably don't even know what that is, but it's another music venue here in town. And I mean, I think their summer lineup is not anything that I'm interested in either. It's very disappointing. I saw Marcus King play at Dueling Hall, which is an old high school auditorium of all things. And just, oh, the North Mississippi All-Stars are coming in October, but that's in October. It's not even summer. So again, just we're having a bad summer around here. Franz Ferdinand and the Killers are good too. I think it was, what was it? Tom Segura. I forget what podcast it was that said that the Killers are the most popular Christian rock band in the world. And I thought, you're nuts. And then as they continue to talk about it, he's like, look up their lyrics. It's a Christian rock band. Look them up. And I looked them up and it's like, you know, actually, they might be onto something. Very good, though. Any commits in baseball? Not yet. Not yet. Can't stand hair metal. See, but I love hair metal. Poison and Rat and that kind of stuff, too. Motley Crue. I love all that too. Every Rose Has Its Very good. Not big on Paramore's last album. You know what's crazy? I kind of loved it. I've got such a crush on Hayley Williams that she could, you know, just call me ugly to my face and I'd be like, okay, you're right. I'm with you though. It's different. It's not for everybody. Thick Skull. I think that's the last track on the album too. Is awesome. I think that's a slow burn. Really good. Do I expect Kiffin to focus more on the pass this season with the loaded wide receiver room or back to the three-headed monster rushing attack mostly? Not that either could be wrong. This is a very bad answer. You ready for a very bad answer? I think it's going to be opponent-dependent. And this is what they do, and this is what makes Lane Kiffin so good at coaching offense and coaching in general, is because he doesn't pigeonhole himself into, this is what I'm going to do. It's every week, every opponent, they do whatever it takes to win that game. If it's a quick passing game, then they'll do it. If it's vertical, they'll do it. If it's running, they'll do it. If it's outside runs, they are, they have an offensive system, but he's willing to win games by scoring 50 points, and he's willing to win games by scoring 27 points. And it's all just opponent dependent. And so I think it completely depends on how teams are going to try to defend them. I don't think anybody can load up the box and try to stop the run because of how talented they are at wide receiver. But at the same time, if you try to, take the passing game away, then with what they have on the offensive line and what they've seemingly done in the portal and running back, then they're going to be able to run on you. It's a pick your poison kind of thing, but it'll vary week to week. I don't think you're going to see Ole Miss score 50 points and Jackson Dart throw for 400 yards every single week. You're going to have games where Dart does throw for 425 and then the next week throws for 205. Just that's how they attack people. It's what makes them so hard to stop. The Refuse, The Shape of Punk to Come, Change My Opinion on Music. What is that? Is that a... Oh, that's an out. I'm sorry. I'd never heard of this. I will listen to it when we hang up here, though. Thank you for the rec. I'm always down to try something. Make sure you carry if you leave Dueling Hall after dark. They're doing a really good job in that area, though. They're doing a really good job. The people developing anywhere. I have not listened to... I don't even know how to pronounce that. Kino? It's Russia's John Lennon. I'll give that a shot, too. I am never not willing to try music, so thank you. Nothing good came out of the 80s? That's not true. That's not true at all. Pyromania came out in 1983. Tattoo You came out in 1981. Moving Pictures came out in 1981. I don't like him, but Born in the USA came out in 84. I really don't like Springsteen at all, but that's a conversation maybe for another day. Back in Black came out in 1980. Eliminator from ZZ Top came out in 1983. Master of Puppets came out in 86. Van Halen's 1984 came out in, as you can imagine, 1984. This is the wrongest thing that's ever... I'm just picking on you, Eugene. I hope you know that. But this is the wrongest thing that anybody's ever said. Journey's Escape came out in 81. Paradise Theater from Styx came out... You're wronger than wrong on this one, my friend. Purple Rain came out in 84. See? How about Headbangers? Always in. Paramore's self-titled is the best. You know, she's from Meridian, by the way, originally. We're really in the midst of the offseason with this talk. Yeah, I mean, this is there might be some upset podcast listeners. I might put a caveat at the beginning, like, hey, guys, it's middle of June. This is what we're going to do. Big super chat again. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you so much. You'll die on the hill of 60-40 pass to rush this year. Well, then Dart's going to go to New York if that's the case. What is that new band copying Def Leppard? You hate the kid's voice. You must be talking about Greta Van Fleet. He sounds, I think he sounds more like Geddy Lee than Robert Plant myself. But you say those are all bad albums. Eugene, I'm going to fight you in the streets. happy Dad Day to all. Yes, happy Father's Day to all of you. Stevie Ray Vaughan is the best listen. You know, I love Bob Seger. Seger might be my favorite, like my all-time favorite. Just the best songwriter and so underrated despite being, you know, incredibly popular. I love me some Bob Seger. Good to see you, man. Glad that you are here. Be safe getting home if you're still on the road. But speaking of, I'm going to get on the road myself. You guys are awesome. My apologies. Look, I know that you come here for sports, and we talk sports for a good half hour or so, but this is the summer. This is what we do. I am already working on the plan for SEC Media Days. I've already got an outline with who I'm hoping to talk to, who I will for sure talk to. So I'm looking forward to that. That's just a month away now. But between now and then, we're still going to do these. Next week, I will be gone for the week. But otherwise, we're going to keep on keeping on. So glad you guys are here. I appreciate you very much. I really do. Thank you. A lot of off-season conversation, but I had fun. Hope you guys did too. I'll see you on Tuesday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.